One of my favorites of those that were printed came from Rabbi Donald Rossoff from the Temple B'nai Or in Morristown. He said in part, "When life doesn't seem to be going my way, there is this little voice inside of me, a feeling which I can only label as hope. It comes from somewhere deep down that tells me that whatever I am going through is for a reason and that it will lead me to a better place than I had heretofore imagined. Of course, it tells me that I have to do my part to realize this hope. Hope is not a passive feeling. It is participatory behavior. To get to this better place, I may have to change my thinking or my approach. I may have to be more open to the opportunities that come my way. I may even have to reimagine myself. And certainly, I will have to rally resources I have not yet called upon." He closes by saying, "My faith teaches that we are God's partners in creating miracles, and I believe it." The very need perceived by this newspaper to run these messages of hope is a demonstration of just how difficult life is for many people at this time. Not too long ago, I went to a funeral for a woman who was just shy of 46 years old. She had died a long, slow death from breast cancer. I didn't know her very well. She was the daughter of one of my cousins, and I had not seen her for a long time. She left behind a husband and two teenagers, a daughter 15 and a son 17. They had cared for her and watched as her body was ravaged by cancer. The funeral was a real tearjerker, as family members gave testimonials to her meaning in their lives. But the underlying tone of the service was that of a celebration of her life and the assurance that she was now with her Lord and Savior in heaven. That is the assurance that we have, and what Paul was saying in his message to the Romans. You probably know that Paul's life was difficult. He had some kind of physical ailment that we're not sure what was, but made his life challenging. He spent time as a missionary going from place to place spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Often he was put in prison and punished physically. But his knowledge of the Lord helped him through all his difficulties. He could believe in the promises of God. And because of this, he could live with hope. Hope is not just wishful thinking. It's much more than that. Hope is the confidence that God will keep his promises to you. We only need to believe and try to do God's will. God makes many promises, and I'm going to mention three of them that come from today's passages. First of all, God promises to be there for you in times of trouble. You can count on God to strengthen you and carry you through difficult times. God doesn't promise to deliver you from difficult times, but gives you the strength to endure, to triumph, to be more than a conqueror over those things which would otherwise be you. It is when we are going through difficult times of pain or suffering or of loss that we need to depend on God to see us through. You've heard of the poem about footprints in the sand that conveys this meaning. Often it is when we look back after we have experienced the time of pain or loss that we can see how God helped get us through it. This is what I heard over and over at the funeral I was speaking about. Each family member gave testimony to God's presence in their lives as they struggled with the loss of their loved one. The second thing that God promises is to make good out of difficult times. In the midst of all the troubles, you can be sure that God is at work and God is going to be with you, and that no matter how dark it may seem, there's light at the end of the tunnel, that God will bring something wonderful to pass. One of my favorite authors is Madeleine L'Engle. Young people know her for her books, A Wrinkle in Time and Eat the Austens. But she also wrote for adults. She was for many years a member of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, and a remarkable theologian for a layperson. In her book, Bright Evening Star, when we were giving readings together, which were so successful we had more invitations than we could accept. Our comfortableness with each other was deep and warm. We were happy. And then out of the blue, cancer struck and killed. Hugh was surrounded by prayers. He was only 70. That seems young to me, she says as she wrote this. She goes on to say, I don't need to understand miracles now in the midst of my human life. I have to believe that what happens to us will be used in God's plan for the universe. We are tangled in the contradictions of human free will and God's will, but ultimately, God's will indeed will be done. Ms. Langle went on to live well into her 80s, continuing to write and to enjoy her children and grandchildren. Our faith doesn't minimize our tragedy, but good can come out of it. Remember, it's not over till it's over. And somewhere I read a proverb that said, if it's not good, God isn't done with it yet. In addition to being there in times of trouble, in addition to bringing good out of the dark times, there is a third thing that God promises, that he will never stop loving you. No matter what you've done, no matter what mess you've gotten into, God will not stop loving you. Tony Campolo is a well-known pastor and author. He tells the story of a pastor of a church in Brooklyn, a run-down, beat-up area of the city. Several years ago, when AIDS was still an unmentionable disease, he got a telephone call from the local funeral director who said that he had a funeral that nobody wanted to take. None of the ministers in the area wanted anything to do with this funeral. The man had died of AIDS. This pastor, Jim, took the funeral and tells this story. When I got there were about 30 homosexual men. They never looked up at me. Their heads were down as they stared at the floor the whole time I spoke. After the funeral service was over, we got into the waiting automobiles and went out to the cemetery. I stood on one side of the grave with the undertaker, and the homosexual men stood on the other side. They were frozen in place like statues. They seemed to be motionless. Not a nerve or a sinew moved as I read scripture and prayed. We lowered the body into the grave, and I pronounced the benediction. I turned back. I turned to leave and realized that none of them were moving. I turned back and asked, is there anything more I can do? One of the men said, yes, they always read the 23rd Psalm at these things, and you didn't do that. Would you read the 23rd Psalm? Jim said, certainly, and he did. And then one of the men said, would you read to me and to all of us that passage that talks about the love of God, that nothing can separate us from the love of God? And Jim said, I turned to these homosexual men, and I said quite simply this, neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither life nor death, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jim said nothing was more thrilling than to say to these men who had been so ostracized and hurt by the church that God still loved them and that nothing could separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The parables that we read in Matthew all describe what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus used those parables as a kind of shorthand to describe how God operates. It's like a small seed that bursts forth into a glorious plant. It's like the effect that a little yeast has on dough. There's a big difference between a plain cracker and a loaf of homemade bread. God's kingdom is like the richest thing you have ever seen and wanted to own. We don't always expect what we will find when we go on our journey with God, but it will be wonderful because God keeps the promise. A few weeks ago, I watched Barbara Walters interview J.C. Bugard, the woman who was kidnapped at age 11 and kept in hiding for 18 years. She was Live in the confidence that God, who gave his son Jesus on the cross, will not turn his back on you. He'll be there. He'll be there to carry you through the difficult times and give you the strength to endure. He will be there to bring good out of the negative. He will be there, loving you through all that goes on. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you've done, no matter what's gone on in your life, you've got a God who can't help himself. Loving you is his nature, and he will love you to the very end. Be of good cheer. Even in death, he will be there. And he promises eternal life to those who trust